content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the November 2019 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we're going to begin today with the front cover. We have a picture here of Mark Stone of the Vegas Golden Knights. He invites you to get on board. It's game time. We'll also have in this issue tricky trivia, perplexing puzzles, riddles to rattle the mind. As we open up, we see the lineup. On page 16, we got Cuckoo for Coco. In her first year as a pro, 15-year-old Coco Gauff played lights-out tennis, won a title, and earned tremendous fan support. Page 20, Turkey Teams. As Thanksgiving Day approaches, we honor five squads that just plain flopped. Page 22, Prime Time. LSU quarterback Joe Burrow has transformed the Tigers' offense and inserted himself into the Heisman conversation. Page 31, Games Galore. Got some downtime over your school break? We've got you covered. All you need is this issue and a pen. Page 48. From the pages of Sports Illustrated, Going Back and Giving Back. Raptors president Masai Ujiri spent his championship summer leading a tour of his home continent with his foundation. He taught the game, absorbed the culture, and served as walking, talking proof to countless kids in Africa that even if they can't play ball, they can still thrive in the NBA. College basketball preview. Page 40. Talented freshmen are everywhere, but returning stars such as Michigan State's Cassius Winston and Baylor's Lauren Cox will power this year's championship contenders. And favorites, page 2, freeze frame, page 7, sports cards, page 11, November birthdays, page 12, future stars, page 14, LOL, page 26, posters, page 52, what's the call, page 53, comic cards, page 54, art gallery, page 56, Buzz Beamer. So go to our first freeze frame on page 2. Boy, there's a lot going on there. There's someone from the Dallas Cowboys with his arms, leg, wrapped around the leg of a Denver Bronco. Let's find out. September 9, 2019, Oakland, California. Raiders safety LaMarcus Joyner got just enough of Broncos wide receiver Deshaun Hamilton to hold him to a 7-yard gain in the second quarter of the team's Week 1 matchup. Joyner was second on the team in tackles with 6. As Oakland held Denver to 334 yards and won 24-16. Our next free frame on page 4, a young man on his skateboard. On the Edge of Glory, September 7, 2019, Salt Lake City, Utah. Japan's 17-year-old Mami Tezuka, the 10th-ranked female teen in the world, did a 50-50 grind on the wall en route to a third-place finish at the Vans Park Series World Championships. Athletes on the tour can earn points toward qualifying for the 2020 Olympics, the first game that will feature skateboarding. Next, we'll have Who's Who in Sports. Line 1. Rafael Devers, third baseman of the Boston Red Sox. His height is 6 feet. His weight is 237 pounds. He was born October 24, 1996, in Sanchez, Dominican Republic. Devers hit his 50th double on September 10th and became the youngest player in Red Sox history to hit that many in a season. He is one of only 3 Major League Baseball players to do so before turning 23. Through September 15th, he led the American League in total bases, 328, and was batting 311 with 107 RBIs. He was the American League Player of the Month for May. Last fall, he became the first Major League Baseball player to have at least 1 RBI in each of his first 8 postseason appearances. Which two other question Major League baseball players hit 50 doubles before turning 23? Answer, Alex Rodriguez, 54 in 1996, and Manny Machado, 51 in 2013, who were both 21. Next we have Rose Lavelle, midfielder, USWNT. Her height is 5'4". She was born May 14, 1995, in Cincinnati, Ohio. In the final of the 2019 Women's World Cup, Lavelle scored the second goal of the United States 2-0 victory over the Netherlands. She had three goals in the tournament and earned the bronze ball as the third best player. She was called up to the senior national team for the first time in 2015 when she was a junior at the University of Wisconsin. Lavelle, who now plays for the NWSL's Washington Spirit, was named Big Ten Midfielder of the Year twice for the Badgers. Question, how many teams play in the NWSL? Answer, 9. Finally, we have Daniil Medvedev, tennis player, ATP Tour. His height is 6'6". His weight is 182 pounds. He was born February 11, 1996, in Moscow, Russia. After losing the United States Open final to Rafael Nadal in a grueling five-set match that lasted nearly 5 hours, Medvedev ascended to the number 4 spot in the world rankings. At 23, he was the youngest man to reach a Grand Slam final since 2010. Through the end of that tournament, he led the ATP Tour in victories, 50 in 2019. In the month leading to the United States Open, he was a finalist at the City Open in Washington, D.C., and the Rogers Cup in Montreal. He then won the Western and Southern Open in Cincinnati, Ohio. Question? Who won the women's singles title at the 2019 United States Open? Answer, Bianca Andreescu of Canada. Now we'll go to page 9, warm-up. Kim Possible. Clijsters comeback is her second. She won back-to-back United States Opens after returning to the sport in 2009. Burning question. Why risk a comeback? Some former athletes are more retired than others. Michael Jordan retired for the first time in 1993 and played baseball, unretired 17 months later, re-retired in 1999, then came back to the NBA again in 2001 to play for the Wizards, a team he managed and partly owned. Brett Favre hung up his pads as a lifelong Packer in March 2008, changed his mind 4 months later, then stuck around for three more seasons on other teams. Marshawn Lynch, Michael Phelps, and Jason Witten are all recent examples of stars who were drawn back to the bright lights. Add Kim Clijsters, who plans to play in 2020, to that list. You might not even know who Clijsters is, as she retired from tennis in 2012. But like Jordan, her comeback is made less surprising by the fact that she's done it before. She first gave up the sport in 2007. She returned in 2009 after having her daughter and won the United States Open as an unranked wild card. She defended that title in 2010 and won the Australian Open in 2011. That successful comeback, however, began at age 26. Now, Clijsters is 36. What would a successful return to the sport look like this time around? Perhaps giving Clijsters hope is the elite-level mom in her late 30s already on the WTA Tour. Serena Williams. It's not that Serena in particular was the inspiration, Kleister's told the New York Times, but I love seeing it. And I love seeing that there are so many mothers in our sport who are trying to be at the highest level of our game. The 38-year-old Williams, like Jordan in basketball, is the exception to the rule. The best ever to play his or her sport, and Kleister's second return differs from Jordan's in another key way. She plays an individual sport, which comes with a greater spotlight and greater risk. In teen sports, a former player can slip into a tailored supporting role with carefully managed playing time. Orioles pitching legend Jim Palmer tried to rejoin the team in 1991, 7 years after his retirement and 1 year after his Hall of Fame induction. He tore a hamstring warming up for his first spring training game and gave up 2 runs in 2 innings. He aborted his comeback, mentioning, funnily enough, that the injury would mess with his tennis game. That same year, tennis legend Bjorn Borg returned to the court. He had retired at age 26 in 1983. At 34, he played not at all like the man who had won 5 straight Wimbledon titles, still favoring an antiquated wood racket. Borg was dispatched into 2 sets at the Monte Carlo Open. It never got better. It's sad to see a former great fail to recapture past glory, but in hindsight, no one remembers Bjorn Borg as a has-been or Jim Palmer as a spring training washout. Kleister's is not really risking her legacy by wanting to do something she loves one last time. In fact, she stands to gain a new fan base. People like you only know her as a figure from tennis history and probably back and valiantly fighting the odds. Unboxed, taking the lid off the coolest sports gear. Timed to the beginning of the latest chapter in Odell Beckham Jr.'s NFL career, Nike released his new signature shoe, the OBJ Air Max 720. In June, the brand launched its latest collaboration with the new Cleveland Browns receiver, the vibrant young king of the drip colorway. Then, to kick off the 2019 season, Nike unveiled Desert Ore. Right. These OBJs are a callback to the classic turf footwear of the 90s, complete with Velcro on the tongue for the attachable patches, featuring Beckham's logo and jersey number. The newer style has a thick, transparent cushion extending from the heel to the toe, along with a combination of suede and mesh fabrics, much like its colorful precursor. The neutral finish, however, means these kicks will go with just about any outfit. Jolly old Jaguars, Houston Texans at Jacksonville Jaguars, November 3rd, 9:30 a.m. ET, Mississippi State at Mississippi. Which of these teams will win the golden egg? The schools may not be in the top 25, but the atmosphere in Starkville during the Egg Bowl won't suffer. SEC football on Thanksgiving night? Yes, please. Washington State at Washington, November 29th, 4 p.m., Fox or FSI. Last year, the Huskies won their 6th straight Apple Cup, and University of Washington players made snow angels on the field afterward. A win-win. It had been 26 years since the University of Washington and Washington State game known as the Snow Bowl. This year will surely be sunny. And finally, Ohio State at Michigan, November 30th, 12 p.m. It's Michigan's year. We can just feel it. After 7 straight losses in this series and 14 in the last 15 meetings, the Wolverines will prevail. After all, Coach Jim Harbaugh did guarantee a win over OSU back when he was Michigan's quarterback in 1986. And he was right. You heard it here first, kids. November birthdays. November 1st, New York Yankees pitcher Masahiro Tanaka celebrates his 31st birthday. November 2nd, San Francisco 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo is 28. November 4th, right wing Dustin Brown of the LA Kings turns 35. November 10th, Orlando Magic point guard DJ Augustine turns 32. November 12th, Houston Rockets point guard Russell Westbrook celebrates his 31st birthday. Sprinter, November 18th, 9-time Olympic medalist Allison Felix turns 34. November 19th, Texas Rangers outfielder Joey Gallo is 26. November 21st, the Philadelphia Union goalkeeper Andre Blake celebrates his 29th birthday. November 23rd, center Nicholas Backstrom of the Washington Capitals is 32. November 25th, Portland Thorns and USWNT defender Emily Sonnet turns 26. November 28th, Cleveland Browns receiver Jarvis Landry celebrates his 27th birthday. And finally, November 29th, receiver Stephon Diggs of the Minnesota Vikings turns 26. Warm-up on our radar. Jack Heath, his height is 6'6". His birth date is August 21st, 2001. His birthplace, Charlotte, North Carolina. His sport, golf. Jack, a senior at Charlotte Catholic High, won the boys' junior PGA championship at Keeney Park Course in Hartford, Connecticut, by one stroke in August. He had the lowest score, 259, and best final round, 62, in the event's 44-year history. He sank a 40-foot birdie on the final hole to secure victory. While competing for Charlotte Catholic in May, Jack led the Cougars to their second straight Class 3A state title. They finished ahead of the next best school by 21 strokes. Jack tied for second in the individual tournament. On the national junior circuit this season, Jack has 5 top 10 finishes, including second at the Scott Robertson Memorial in Virginia in May. As of September 16, he was the 7th-ranked junior golfer in the country. Jack has committed to play for San Diego State University in 2020. Sports Kids of the Month. Caleb Tinsley, 10, Pinson, Alabama, flag football, track and field. Caleb led the Pinson Indians to a championship in the Trustville Flag Football League in May. He also finished second in the 400-meter run and third in the shot put at a state track meet. Charlotte Singleton, 10, Livingston, Montana. Sport is karate. In 2019, Charlotte finished first in the Kumite division of the Yoshida Cup at United States Nationals and at the Junior International Cup. She is ranked third in the 10 to 11 age division, American Junior Karate League. Jay Felberg, age 13, from Toronto, Canada. His sport is hockey and track and field. Jay, a captain of the Upper Canada Under 14 hockey team, led the team with 16 goals en route to a berth in the league title game. He also won the 400 and 800-meter runs at the Canadian Independent School Championships. Are you a sports kid? If you think you have what it takes to be a sports kid of the month, submit your nomination at sikids.com/sportskid. Oakland A's third baseman Matt Chapman's favorite things. His favorite food is sushi. His favorite ice cream, chocolate chip cookie dough. His sport other than baseball, hockey. His favorite cartoon, SpongeBob SquarePants. His favorite actor, Christian Bale. His favorite athlete is Derek Jeter. Emoji, the lightning flash. His favorite band, Tame Impala. Favorite subject, history or math. Favorite books, A Series of Unfortunate Events. Sound off. What was your favorite subject in school? Interview by kid reporter Anna Label. I enjoyed computer class. I'm a fast typer now from that. We got to make games and design websites and other cool things that I had fun doing. That's Kyle Larson, NASCAR Cup driver. My favorite subject in school growing up was always history. I enjoyed learning about our American history and where our country has been and what we have done in the past to get us to where we are now. Now that I have the privilege of representing the United States men's national team, all of that history resonates even more with me. This is Paul Areola, D.C. United midfielder. Outside of gym class, recess, and lunch, I really liked art class. We recently went to back-to-back school night with my son, Nate, and they had a really nice art room that reminded me of the one I had growing up. That's Joe Pavelski, Dallas Stars forward. Cuckoo for Coco. In her first year as a pro, 15-year-old Coco Gauff played lights-out tennis, won a title, and earned tremendous fan support. On July 1st, while most rising 10th graders were in the middle of summer vacation, 15-year-old Corey Gauff was beating former number one Venus Williams in the first round at Wimbledon. It was only the start of the teenager's historic summer. From there, the youngest player to qualify for that Grand Slam in the Open era won two more matches at the tournament. By the time she lost to 7th-ranked Simona Halep in the round of 16, Gauff, who goes by Coco, had gained a worldwide fan base. She followed her breakout performance in England with an appearance at the City Open in Washington, although she didn't progress far in the singles bracket. She cemented her status as a rising star by winning the doubles tournament with 17-year-old Katie McNally. The duo nicknamed McCoco didn't lose a single set in the tournament, said McNally of Gauff. She's so laid back, so silly, and super easy to get along with. And Gauff just kept winning. At the United States Open, the final Grand Slam of the season, she won her first two singles matches, and she and McNally won their opener. That's why on August 31st, 23,000 fans crammed into the Arthur Ashe Stadium in New York City to watch Gauff play the tournament's number one seed and reigning champion, 21-year-old Naomi Osaka. To those outside the tennis world, Gauff's success came out of nowhere. Those who know her and her family weren't surprised. Making a champ. Gauff, who grew up in Atlanta, was born in Delray Beach, Florida, to Mom Candy, a former track athlete at Florida State, and Dad Corey, a former basketball player at Georgia State. Their daughter began showing an interest in tennis when she was 3 or 4. Once she picked up a racket when she was 6, it didn't take long for her parents to realize that she had talent. With Corey as her coach, she won the 2012 Little Mo Internationals in the 8 and under division. When Gauff was finishing up second grade, her parents decided to help her follow her tennis dreams, which took them back to Delray Beach. Says Gauff, who is big sister to brothers Cody 11 and Cameron 6, "My parents have helped me a lot, my dad especially, as my coach, and my mom keeping our family bonded together." Candy, a former teacher, has homeschooled her daughter since the family moved to Florida. While here, Gauff joined the Maratogolo Academy, which was founded by Serena Williams coach Patrick Maratogolo. He remembers his first impression of Gauff during her tryout. "She was physically an incredible natural athlete, very focused during practice, an incredible competitor, able to beat players older and better than her," Maratogolo recalls. "But what stood as the most impressive was her mindset. 10 years old and already so ambitious, so sure about her abilities and driven. I did not think twice. I admitted her straight away." Soon after, with Maratoglu's guidance, 10-year-old Gauff had her first big win, the 12 and under title at the USTA National Clay Court Championships. In 2018, she defeated McNally to win the French Open Junior Girls Singles Championship and became the youngest junior girls player to earn a number one ranking under the system that has been in place since 2004. Gauff and McNally then teamed up to win the United States Open Junior Doubles title. Heading into the 2019 season, when she was still just 14, Gauff turned pro. "My mindset is the tool that I use on court and off the court to help me navigate my life," says Gauff. "I think that being the oldest sibling matured me a little bit quicker." Cody and Cameron cheered from the front row of the stand at the City Open. While celebrating on the court after Gauff's big doubles win in D.C., Cameron said the best part of watching his sister succeed is getting to see her dream big. Youth movement. For Gauff, things couldn't have gotten much bigger than playing before a packed house at the United States Open against the defending champ. Though the on-court action was anything but exciting, Osaka won 6-3, 6-0. The moments afterward were among the most memorable in sports this year. As they hugged, Osaka asked an emotional Goff to join her in the post-match interview, a spotlight generally reserved for the winner. Through tears, Goff thanked the crowd for its support and embraced Osaka once more. "I'm going to learn a lot from this match, and Naomi has been so sweet to me. So thank you for this," said Goff. Osaka, fighting back her own tears, turned to Coco's parents, saying, "I remember I used to see you guys training in the same place as us. And for me, the fact that both of us made it and we're both still working as hard as we can, it's incredible. I think you guys are amazing. And Coco, I think you're amazing." It was a perfect moment of kindness and sportsmanship. Though neither the match nor the tournament, Makoko also lost in the third round, ended the way Goff would have liked it. Her future and the future of women's tennis is certainly bright. "I still haven't wrapped my head around being a role model," Goff said this summer. "I just hope that I'm everything that they're looking up to and that they dream of." She's off to a good start. Turkey teams. As the Thanksgiving Day approaches, we honor five squads that flopped. 2012 Miami Marlins. How about some fish with your bird? After a 72-90 season in 2011, the Florida Marlins took on a whole new look. New players, pricey free agents, Jose Reyes, Mark Burley, new manager, Ozzie Guillen, new stadium, Marlins Park with a home run fountain, new name, Miami. Expectations were so high that they were featured on the cover of Sports Illustrated's Baseball Preview. Then the season started, and the Fish lost five of their first seven en route to a 69-93 last-place finish in the National League East. And that new stadium, the Marlins ranked 18th in attendance and 28th the next year. 2000 Alabama Crimson Tide. Bama has always been unbeatable, right? Wrong. In 1999, the Tide won the SEC title game and went 10-3. They opened the following season ranked number three, but stumbled to a 3-8 finish that included a 40-38 loss in their homecoming game to then unheralded Central Florida. To make matters worse, an NCAA investigation into the recruitment of one of their players led to the Tide being placed on probation for 5 years. 2012-2013 LA Lakers. After the Lakers added Dwight Howard and two-time MVP Steve Nash to a lineup that already included Kobe Bryant and Pau Gasol, Sports Illustrated put Nash and Howard on the cover of the magazine with the headline, "Now this is going to be fun." It was instead that what Bill Callahan might call the most unfunniest. LA lost all 8 preseason games and started 1-4, which cost coach Mike Brown his job. The Lakers snuck into the playoffs but were swept, and they haven't been back to the postseason since. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138. I walked up to her. I said, "Hello." She said, "Hey, you kind of cute." I said, "Yes, I know, but by the way, sweetheart, what's your name?" She said, "My friends like to call me Exotic Elaine." I said, "My name is the Prince." And she said, "What?"